You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
Thank you so much. Sounded fantastic. It's Advent season, so wonderful Christmas songs. I know it's going to happen. How many people are ready for Christmas already? You got everything you need? Okay, good. You ready? Your packages?
June.
Are they wrapped, your presents?
No.
Mine are wrapped. Just want to say. And I find it a little, it's like boring right now because I'm like usually scrambling over the place to find presents. And I'm like, wow, online shopping. How many like, yeah, good job on the online shopping. Yeah. Better than getting up at 3 in the morning on Black Friday. I know what's going to happen on Christmas Day. It's what's going to happen is you're going to get there and you're going to unwrap some present, your kid or your wife or somebody's going to unwrap a present that has to be, it says on the box, assembly required, right? And they're going to be so excited. I want this. I want to play with this like that. And you, this is what you're going to do because you're a man. You're going to try to assemble it, and you're not going to do what? You're not going to read the direct instructions, right? Nobody, men, right? We don't start there. That's like the weak way out. And what's going to happen is you're going to get halfway through it, and you're going to take it back to Walmart because it's defective, but it wasn't defective until you started working on it, right? I don't know. It just came this way. I don't know why those screws are stripped. It just wasn't, I don't know. What you might do, which is a better thing to do, is you're going to read the instructions. But the problem with that is they're originally written in Chinese, and somebody tried to translate them into English, and it didn't work. Or you bought furniture, and it was translated by the Swedish chef from The Muppets, right? What? I don't know what that means. And so you're going to get stuck, and that's it. Now imagine this. Imagine this. Imagine if the person who created that, who engineered that, shows up to your house on Christmas morning, says, you know what? I know you bought this. I saw this. I'm here. I'm going to put it together for you. You talk about customer service. It's like, wow, thank you very much. They put it together. It goes like that. They know how it goes together, right? Today we're talking about Spirit-empowered believers, and we started the conversation last week that Spirit-empowered believers are led by the Holy Spirit. Get this. The God who spoke creation speaks your name. The God who created it all, who knew you before you were even born, who put your life together, says to you, you know what? I know the instruction. I created you. I know what life's going to throw you. Why don't you let me partner with you and speak to your life and take you down the road? Would it be foolish for us not to listen to that voice? The beautiful thing is God wants to do that. And so we're talking about part two, being led by the Holy Spirit. We're going to be Acts chapter 10, and we're going to see how the Lord can help us not make a mess of our life. All right? Acts chapter 10, starting verse 9. About noon, the following day, as they were on their journey, Peter, on their journey approaching the city, Peter went up on a roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. He's getting hungry. He goes on the roof to pray. And all of a sudden, he gets hungry. He says it down to him. And in that, he falls into a trance. I looked what that trance means. In the word, the word is actually ecstasy. I don't know it, and I'm surprised you do. But ecstasy is the word, right? Is that how you say it? Yeah. It's a bad joke, and nobody gets it. It's not what we think it is. Ecstasy is it's a state of mind and attention that's so absorbed in a particular train of thought that all of our senses go away. They're suspended for a while. So you're so strongly daydreaming that he forgets he's hungry. He's sort of in that state. When I was a child, I get so obsessed about one thing or one problem I was working on in school that I would literally not hear the teacher call my name. And I was just myopic and on that situation. So much so that in third grade, I had a teacher have me go get my hearing checked because she thought I didn't hear well. But it's just that I was so on that one point, and it's just sort of part of me. That's what's happening to Peter. He's in a trance, and God takes him to his place, and he's just really obsessed with this one thing going on that everything else goes by the wayside. This is what happens. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners, and it contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. And then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. This behavior to a Jewish person, even a Jewish Christian, was so far out of the box, because if we went back to the Old Testament, God said, don't eat this, don't eat this, don't, and they're called unclean animals. So the she comes up of all the things he was not supposed to eat, pork, you know, lobsters, whatever that looks like, are brought up, and he says, you're hungry, eat. And he says, not me, I've never done anything like that. And this is what I'm going to say, is the stronger, the riskier the action that you need, the stronger the word that God gives you. So this is so foreign to him, he has to hear it three times. To the next scripture, thank you. The voice spoke to him a second time, says, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And this happened three times, and immediately she was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped by the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. And Peter went down and said to the men, I am the one you're looking for. Why have you come? So this is what happens. Peter gets spoken to by God in two ways. First, he falls into a trance, and he has sort of this dream state where he's obsessed with this one thing, and God's showing him this vision, this word picture. And the second thing is the Holy Spirit just speaks to him directly. And it was clear and specific. Now, how does God speak? I don't know. I don't know if it's audible. I don't know if it's just an impression in his heart. In Peter's case, we don't know about this. And in church, when we say, when somebody gets up there and says, well, God told me, I know for some of you that's very confusing. Well, how did God tell you? What did that look like? But I've experienced in my life God speaking to me in these ways. First of all, in word pictures. Word pictures that sort of explain a point. When we started the church years ago, there was a lady at Living Streams. She was a prayer warrior, a woman who was praying for us. And she came to me and she said, I see you starting a church in the West Valley. And it's going to be like a vineyard. In the first 7 years, the fruit is going to be very small. It'll be good fruit, but it'll be small fruit. And in the seventh year, it will explode and there'll be fruit all over the vines. She didn't know that when my family was young, we used to come out here to the grapevines. Anybody remember when there was grapes out here at Cotton Lane and then there was at Northern Dunlap, somewhere in that area like that? We would come out every year and we would pick grapes in July. Red flame grapes, they were wonderful. I made raisins out of them. I had raisins for the entire year. So we had done this exercise in the West Valley several times. So the grapevine was a picture that meant a lot to me. So it took what God was going to do and it grained it in me. The second thing that happened is, in the seventh year of our church, of our existence, this church building became available. We'd been in schools, we'd been in a movie theater, and this church became available. We bought it in the seventh year, and in the seventh year from then, we've been exploded in numbers and influence, and God fulfilled the dream. Because sometimes it gets hard, it gets difficult, but these sort of word pictures, and you see them throughout the Old Testament, really give us an understanding of faith, and it's easy to remember. It's easy to remember about that. When we were in Ecuador, a pastor's wife came to me, and she said, I see this knitting of the blanket, or you are the quilt of your life, and there's thick strands of yarn, and there's thin strands, and they're different colors. And all you've been able to see for this time in your life, it's just sort of one square. If you know quilts are sort of made in squares and sections, and you see that one square. But God is beginning to bring you back. She had this word picture that she bring. And you're going to see the entirety of your life and how it all fits together. What she didn't know was when I was young, my grandmother used to quilt socks and sweaters for children in an orphanage in Ecuador. And I'm like, wow. You want to talk about a word that sticks in my heart? I'll never forget that the rest of my life. And I see myself right now that God's beginning to see how all the things that happened in my life began to fit together. And hopefully you get the benefit of that, all right, as he begins to work more and more in my heart. These things, I won't forget it. It makes impressions on me. And in tough times, it helps out. We were with a government leader, a young lady who was serving the government. She was doing a fantastic job. And she took us up on this beautiful porch in Ecuador. And we're looking down on this gorgeous church. And the pastor began to pray for her, but he's praying for her in Spanish. And I don't speak Spanish. I know, like yo quiero, quesadilla, not taco bell. I don't like taco bell, but you know what I mean? I know a couple phrases, like I want to eat something, where's the bathroom, the important phrases. But I don't know what he's saying. He's speaking. Her hands are like this, and as he's praying for her, she's got her hands out. And as he's praying, God speaks to my heart, in my heart, this impression that I can't shake. Ask her what gift she wants from the Father. I'm like, that's weird. And it's like, no, and I couldn't get it out of my heart, just this impression. Ask her what gift she wants from the Father. So he gets done praying, and I say to the translator, I said, ask her if the Father was here and she could get one gift, what gift would she want from the Father? So he speaks it, and as he does, he's looking at me. Her eyes get all big. The pastor's eyes get all big. And the pastor tells him back to me, I just told her I felt like she should put her hands out because the Lord was going to give her a gift and it was just going to explode. Right? And then I say, well, what is it? He didn't know what it was. He said to her, I don't know what the gift is. And then I say, not knowing his language, what gift do you want? And she says, a husband. And she goes, well, and even a pastor. And I said, I rebuke that in the name. You do not want a pastor's husband. I'm just telling you right now. No, I didn't say that. And so God speaks in this situation through a word. And then God speaks to him with, I think, a very strong confirmation, something in his heart that he can't shake. It's the voice of God speaking to him. There's a third way, and I want to ask my buddy David Lake to come up here to talk about the third way that God can speak to us. And David is my golfing buddy. He beats me every time, but I have brought a calculator I'm going to start bringing to make sure I count his shots properly, right? Nobody gets it.
No, you know, after the first service, nobody cared what I said. They only wanted to know about my golf.
Oh, really? I blew it. Okay. I'm going to talk to the jurors. Please forget about the last remark you heard, okay? David, your business, you got a word from God, and I thought it was pretty powerful when you were sharing with me. I'd love for you to share about how that came about.
Okay. In 2008, God put me in business, and actually it's God's business. He's a CEO, so I make a practice of asking him how he wants to do the business. We build swimming pools, we remodel, and those type of things. So the business had come along really well, had grown, and I was pretty satisfied with the way things were going. So coming back from missions trips from the Philippines, God spoke a word to me, and he comes out of the word reading the word of God. Now, I want you to understand something before I run off on that. It's so important to listen to God. It's so important to read the word of God. I'm passionate about that, and I want to encourage you to be passionate about that also. So God drops a word in my heart, a scripture. It says the kingdom of God is like the smallest of seeds, a mustard seed, which when it is planted in the garden will grow into a great tree, and even the birds of the air will come and rest under it. God says to me, he says, that's what a kingdom business is, and that's what I want this kingdom business to be. I'm like, okay, God, because I was real happy the way things are. I don't even know how to grow a business. So the entire next year I prayed to God. I said, God, please grow the business. I don't know what to do. So coming back from the Philippines again, this is the second time I've been there, and God speaks to me. He said, now, when I come back from the Philippines, I open a second showroom. I hire staff. I hire a manager. I spend more money on advertising than I ever did in my entire life. So God has spoke to me through giving me a word through scripture. He spoke to me an impression in my heart that gave me the timing on it. Just recently, coming back from the Philippines again, I'm going to quit going to the Philippines. It changes my life every time. Coming back from the Philippines again, before I had left, I'd asked God, how do I build a sales team for our business? I don't know how to do that, God. What do you want me to do with this? And I had met with an individual who was his business was to build sales team. Christian guy, love the Lord, blah, blah, blah. Sat and talked with him. And he gives me what his fees are going to be. So I'm like, God, okay, what do you want to do? God gives me a dream. And in the dream, I am officiating high school sports. Now, I officiate high school sports anyway, so this is, again, something that I can relate to. In the dream, I'm supposed to be going to a game, a football game, to officiate. And when you go to a football game, you need to make sure you have all your equipment with you. I didn't show up to the game. I don't have my equipment. And in the dream, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I need to get out of here, and I need to go get the equipment before the game starts. I get in the truck, and I start my trip. And in the dream, God shows me the equipment's in the back of my truck. I had the equipment all along. When I woke up in the morning, God says to me, he says, David, he says, I've given you everything to do what I've called you to do. You do not need to hire this person. Okay, God, thank you. And that was how the decisions are made in everyday business when God runs the show.
That's fantastic. One thing I really appreciate that David actually is a bit of an expert on is that when you read God's word, you know, we all have our devotions we have to read every day and we go through our chapters. You just don't read to get information. You read with a perception, and then just explain that for just a little bit, what that looks like.
Well, when you open the Word of God, you have to have an expectation that He's going to talk to you. First of all, when Jesus is in the wilderness, He says, man does not live by bread alone, but of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Greek translation for word in that instance is called rhema. Now, in the Bible, there's two words we translate from Greek for word. It's logos and rhema. Logos implies the written word and things that are written in the past. Rhema implies an utterance for now. And so when I go and I sit with God and hang out with God, I absolutely have the expectation that He's going to give you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And the beautiful thing about getting a rhema is that it has to do with what you're dealing with at that particular time. God imparts the faith to do what you didn't think you could do.
That's powerful. Thank you so much, David. Thanks for... Isn't that powerful? Thanks, buddy. In fact, most of the words that I feel like God has directed me, I've been reading the scripture and something pops out of me. And one of the pushbacks against this, because it can get a little dangerous, and we're going to talk about how to have safeguards in your life next week about this, is that its scripture is sort of taken out of context. That scripture was written for Israel, and now you're using it for today. But actually, if you read the New Testament, that happened several times with the New Testament leaders, something that God had spoken to Israel, they now were getting to see fulfilled, and it had like a dual meaning. So when I read the scriptures, for instance, when we came to this church, I mean, when we started the church, God, I woke up in the middle of the night, all I saw in my heart was Psalm 105, Psalm 105, Psalm 109. I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I opened Psalm 105, and it was the scripture that drove me to find where we were going to plant the church. And I have all kinds of stories about that. But the last part of that verse says this, that they inherited, they got lands that were not their own, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for. And we were praying about this property. God spoke to me in that scripture, same scripture, said, you're going to get what other people have built. You're not going to build your own. I'm going to place it in your life. So when people come to this church that we got that somebody has spoken, and they go, I was here. I built it in the beginning. I go, thank you. Because what you did for the kingdom is paying off now. In fact, we had somebody about 2 months ago came in. They were almost weeping because they saw what they had built and all the people that were working in faith. It was a powerful thing. So God speaks to us sometimes through visual things and dreams and sort of word pictures. He speaks to us when He puts an impression on our heart that we can't shake. And then He speaks to us sometimes through the Word. So when we read God's Word, like He said, we need to have an anticipation that God's going to speak to us. Let me show you the rest of the scripture. It says this in Acts chapter 10. The men replied, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Now, this guy heard from an angel. I like that. I'd rather have that one. How many know like an angel showed up and said, yeah, buy that car, not that car. Yeah, that'd be better, right? Or marry that person, not that person. A holy angel told him to ask, come to this house so he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the man into the house to be his guest. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. And if you read the rest of chapter 10, you get the story of what happened. It's really interesting. All the things that God said happened. I want to chase a little bit of a rabbit trail right here. I don't do that a lot, but a week ago, I caught a gopher that had been ripping up my yard for 4 months. So I'm feeling a little hound doggish right now, okay? Cornelius was not a believer. Cornelius wasn't even a Jew. But he was a man who was seeking, right? And doing what he knew to be right. And I really believe this in my heart. There's a pendulum swinging in every person's life. And there are points in their life when the pendulum swings that their openness to God is stronger than other times. This is a man who did not follow after Christ, who God is speaking to. You understand the concept here? It's against what even Peter would talk to. And you know what? In this land, in our climate, we've got to change our mentality as a church. Let the political pundits argue about who they should let in our country and who they shouldn't let. That's not the point. The point is this, that if there's a refugee, a Muslim refugee, that moves into my neighborhood, whose heart is open to God because they're seeking something. They're praying. Is it right? No, but they're seeking. Floyd McClung talks about times that he's ministering to the Muslim population that they've had dreams before he showed up about him. And God was speaking to them. And God says, faith is this, believing there is a God and that He rewards those who diligently seek them. So even though they don't know it, they're in a moment of faith. You understand that? There are people around you that are in a moment of faith. They don't know where to direct it, but it's a moment of faith. Our responsibility is only this, to love them as Christ would love them and point them to the truth. That's our job. We don't need to live in fear. We need to live in faith. And if there are people around us that are seeking faith in some way, we need to be the ones that point them to the truth of Jesus Christ. That needs to be the response of believers. I mean, do you understand what I'm trying to say? This is changing the dynamics of our world. It's easier for God to reveal Himself, truth, to people who are looking for truth. And Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Cornelius says he was a man who was a righteous man who did good things. God revealed it to him. God honored his faith and showed him the way. And I want us to take that response. And that's difficult Christianity. But you know what? Difficult Christianity is listening to the Holy Spirit direction. Peter, this was difficult. We're going to find out next week. This disrupted the whole church. The whole church was upset with this, didn't know how to handle this, because there's no way we should be taking the gospel to the Gentiles. He went against what would be natural to him. God says, don't say what's unclean, what I call clean. Go and do what I've asked you to do. It's a hard thing. But we have to have, what are the qualifications? Believe that God exists and He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Now here's a great scripture for you. James 1:5 says this. If you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives to all men generously without finding fault. I messed up. It doesn't matter. You ask God, and it will be given to Him. One of the reasons we don't ask God is because we don't think we're qualified to hear from God. Something we've done in the past. Something we're doing right now. But that's not true. If your kid's not doing well right now, and then tomorrow comes to you and says, I really need some help with this. Would you help me figure that out? You say, nope. Yesterday you were bad. I'm not going to talk to you. You're not going to do that, right? You say, what? Yeah, I'll be glad. Let me help you with that. And here's the thing. Another reason people don't try to listen, they think they're going to get something. What if I make a mistake? Well, let me speak prophetically. You're going to make a mistake. You are. You're going to do something. You go, wow, that was wrong. But I would rather you err on that side, trying to hear the voice of God and make a mistake, than not just shut it down altogether. And I have all kinds of illustrations, and being my age, I get to excuse myself by saying I don't remember when I told it the last time, but here's an illustration. When I was a junior high pastor, I had a junior high leader come to me, middle school leader come to me, and said, Pastor Lloyd, I just really messed up last week. I go, really, what happened? He goes, I had this kid in my class, a middle schooler, I just knew he was like demon-oppressed or possessed, or which, you know, it's like 50-50 with middle school kids. You know, the odds are almost in your favor, right? And so he says, we're out in the playground out there and everybody's away from us. And I walk up to him like Jesus did to one of them. I go, demon, tell me your name. And the guy goes, my name is Johnny. He goes, I command you, foul demon, tell me your name. He goes, Mr. So-and-so, my name is Johnny. As I walked away, I'm going, man, did I blow that one. I go, that's right. We're the only one that knows. Now you know too, and I won't tell you names. So you're going to blow it once in a while, okay? That's okay. But you're never going to know what's right or wrong until you start trying to listen and acting in the Holy Spirit. So I give you permission to get it wrong. I'd rather let us try to listen to the Holy Spirit and get it wrong than dismiss it altogether. And just try to be humble about it. This is what I feel like God's saying. Now, thus saith the Lord God Almighty, creator of the heavens and earth. You know, just be humble about it. Can you imagine, okay, that if we set an environment where we listen to the Holy Spirit, how many mistakes would you have been avoided by getting a distinct, clear word from God? When your first response is, to any big decision, we need to seek the Lord. We need to ask the Lord and let Him speak to us. How about your children growing up in an environment where listening to the Holy Spirit was the norm? Can you imagine how that would change their life? So one day, when they're choosing a career path, they say, you know what? I just know what to do. I'm going to ask and pray and wait for God to speak to my heart. One day, when they're choosing a mate, they're going to say, I'm not going to choose it until God speaks to my heart and confirms it. Or better yet, I'm not going to even date a person until God speaks to my heart. How many parents trust the Holy Spirit more than their hormones? Right? We want to set an environment. But it doesn't happen by accident. We have to be people who are listening to, seeking out the Spirit of God and asking God to speak to us. Do you understand what happens? That God wants to help you in your life. The one who created you, who knows what the instructions means, wants to speak to you about your life. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells this parable and nobody understands it. And the disciples say, why are you talking about this parable? And he quotes a scripture in Isaiah where he says, these people are hardened in their hearts. They're ever seeing, but they don't see. They're ever hearing, but they don't hear. But he said, blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. See, blessed are your ears and your eyes because they hear and they see. I want to have eyes that see and ears that hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to my life. Are you with me in that? Let's stand and let's pray for that. Would you join me? Would you bow your head in prayer with me? And if you feel comfortable, would you just put your hands on your ears and we'll pray for this. Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking. We pray that the noise of this world will be drowned out so we can hear you clearly. We need you to speak to us. We need you to direct us and to guide us and to show us the plans you have for us. We believe they're plans for greatness, but we've got to hear your voice. Father, for these eyes, as I place my hands on my eyes, let me see what you're doing. I want to be a part of what you're doing, Lord. I want to see through the Spirit the things that you're doing, and I want to be a part of that. So give me eyes to see, I pray. And Father, I pray that you give us the courage to step out, knowing that it's the only way to learn to hear your voice. So give us the courage we need to do what you've asked us to do. Father, I want to thank you that you gave your only Son for my salvation and that you sent the Holy Spirit to guide me and to direct me in everything I do. It's a great gift. I thank you for that, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.